Welcome everyone to another podcast of Modern World Zen. This is Josh Barzell. So last episode, we wrapped up in a place where you really found what you were looking for within yourself. And this is the place that's beyond thoughts. Because you can have a good thought, you can have a bad thought, and they're both equal. You shouldn't give any weight to your good thoughts over your bad thoughts or vice versa. You know, you can think about it in terms of, you know, maybe I should be accurately assessing this issue, but my thinking is sort of too good and it's sort of I'm in a fantasy where I can't see the reality that's negative. And likewise, you could be in a fantasy that's negative, that's like a depression where your good thoughts aren't even allowed to exist, and you'd want to have good thoughts there. So it really doesn't actually matter whether your thoughts are good or bad or not. We shouldn't be saying, oh, I really shouldn't be thinking this way, or I really should be thinking positively. You should just allow yourself to be who you are and allow your thoughts to take whatever form they are. And the reason why we said last episode that it's beyond mindfulness, because mindfulness is going to have you look at your thoughts in this way. And we don't want to just do that. I mean, if we're doing that, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with mindfulness. I love mindfulness myself, actually. And it's great. It's a great practice. But to go beyond mindfulness, you have to go beyond thoughts themselves. So hopefully everyone understood that and tried to find that for themselves. So we're going to continue to go along here. And in this episode, we're going to look at sort of what it takes to become enlightened, in a sense, and what an enlightened being sort of looks like. And we talked about that a little bit. You know, about how an enlightened being is able to awaken Shakti or give grace, give chi, you know. And we can say, okay, that's one aspect of an enlightened being, that a guru like this would be able to awaken your inner power. But let's go in there and look at that and say to ourselves, almost like, well, what is that? You know, what is enlightenment? What is a guru? What is a truly, you know, what is it that we're all looking for? What is this thing called, you know, liberation or God realization or enlightenment? So the first thing that you have to understand is that there are stages to the development of that understanding. And it's not as if that everyone is going to be able to get through all of these stages in one lifetime, say. But regardless, according to the Bhagavad Gita, you can be reborn and continue from where you sort of stopped in your previous lifetime and continue your march, if you will, towards perfection, towards enlightenment. So we shouldn't worry too much about whether or not we're going to attain it in this lifetime. We might use many lifetimes to attain it. So the idea is that if this is your last life, this is the life that you are to attain perfection in, right, where you won't be born again, then you have already built up a lot of merit. You already have a lot going for you from your previous lifetime. And you should be you shouldn't really have anything in your way. You should have enough, say, money, and you should have enough sort of support to pursue yoga and meditation in this lifetime that would allow you to reach perfection. You know, you're not going to have to do things so much to get money. Money should be there, you know, in a sense. And this is hard for people to understand, but we're talking about a very evolved being here, right? We're not talking about a being who's using sort of all sorts of trickery to get money. You know, that's not going to be the person that's going to be enlightened necessarily, right? We see that all the time. All of these schemes to get money. This a yogi is not going to be involved in any of those kinds of schemes. And I'm not really talking about illegal schemes. I'm just talking about sort of like where one's sole aim was to make money. They're going to be more sort of richly inspired things that someone would get involved in. But some people, the way it is, they just have to do something to get money because they need money. But it's not going to be the case for a person on the path of enlightenment who's going to attain enlightenment in this lifetime. So hopefully that makes sense. And we can find ourselves along that. You know, maybe that's us, maybe that's not us, but this is the kind of thing that, and you can understand how that would be the case, because how are you supposed to attain enlightenment if you've got to, you know, sort of use all these tricks to just to eat? You know, it's going to be difficult for that person. And that person might have to be reborn and to be able to be in a situation where one could really meditate to attain enlightenment in this lifetime. So obviously this is a very high place to be. If this is your, you know, last lifetime to attain enlightenment, you are going to be a very highly evolved being. And I think that we should see that, you know, it's not like being a yoga teacher. You know, that's generally what we find is we say, okay, my yoga teacher is wonderful. He or she teaches me postures, and this has made me just so great. That's not enlightenment. Right? The yoga teacher teaches you various postures isn't going to be the enlightened master. But they could sell themselves as that way. It's just not going to be the case. That's kind of a brutal truth, right? But most of us should know that this is the case. We shouldn't be so enamored by our yoga teacher that we consider him or her to be God, right? Because really, enlightenment, what is enlightenment? It's God realization. It's the attainment of divinity. So comparing a perfect being to God is actually correct. You know, it's not really, you're not really saying much there because it's really true. It is true. And we recognize it doesn't happen in one birth. It takes many births to attain the ultimate goal of perfect liberation, perfect realization, perfect attainment. So I would say that for a being like that, obviously they're going to be very gifted. They're going to not have to struggle to survive, to make it, to live, to eat, etc. They do possess power. And like I said before, the power that they possess is this ability to wake up the person, to awaken their kundalini. And this can be done in various ways. It can be done through just touch and thought. It can be, you know, the guru can say something and in such a way that you wake up and be like, oh my gosh, how did this person know this? And it can sort of wake you up. And when that happens, you know, you've received the grace of an enlightened being. So Obviously, a person like that, we say a being, I mean, it's more it's really more appropriate to say a being, but a yogi, a true yogi, not the yoga teacher, but I almost want to say yogi with a capital Y, right? But a being like that, a perfect being now, right, is someone that's going to be quite evolved. And by that I mean that everyone's attracted to a being like that. People worship a being like that, because of what they can get from him or her. So we should recognize that we're really talking about, the essence of what a religious site would be. I mean, people go to Jerusalem, they go to places like this Mecca to worship. Essentially, an enlightened being is equivalent to a holy place of worship in power. So that's really what we're talking about here. We should know what we're talking about. But nevertheless, you say to yourself, okay, but this is, the United States of America. There are boys and girls in good families, or young men and young women in good families that should be like that. Why wouldn't they be? In other words, educated, had therapy, parents are good. What's the difference? Why wouldn't this young man or this young woman who's just beautiful and just put together correctly and has everything going for them, why aren't they perfect and why aren't they enlightened? So what's the difference there? So generally speaking, in those situations, what you would find is a person who's probably habitual. It doesn't mean that the young man or young woman is an addict, right? But that they have some habitual patterns of behavior and they become slaves to those habits, whether it's video games or it's this or it's that. And certainly young men, it's video games for the most part, a lot of them, and these are good people. This is not like these are like scum of the earth, These are people that come from well-educated and good families, So there's these habitual things. In men, it could be video games, and women, it could be other things. It could be Instagram. And they're a slave to these things, right? And not only are they a slave to what they do habitually, as we all are, and it doesn't have to be like heroin or like drugs like that. It can just be things that seemingly innocuous that we know we shouldn't do, but we do them anyway. Doesn't have to be alcohol, It could be something less than that. So, and nevertheless, not only are these things exist, but these young men and women, they just with their habitual, problems, say, they judge people based upon those habitual problems. So they judge you or me based upon their issue of, say, they play video games too much or they're on Instagram too much. And they would judge you and I based upon those problems. And the problem with that is that if one of these seemingly perfect young men or young women would come to a being who's really perfect, say a perfect yogi, the holy place, right? And if you ever take a young man or a young woman who likes video games and Instagram respectively, and you take them to Jerusalem, or you may take them to Mecca, or you might take them to another, place of pilgrimage, they're sort of like in their own world. They're on their phones playing video games, you know what I mean? Or looking at Instagram or whatever it is. They're not really absorbed in the experience. So you can imagine it would be the same thing with an enlightened being or a liberated being. They just wouldn't sort of take to it. And this is because they're judging what they're encountering based upon their own weaknesses. And the problem with that is that they misjudge the greatness of, say, a liberated being. They misjudge the value of enlightenment because they're seeing it through their own lens of imperfection. And they place this imperfection on perfection, essentially. In this way, they reject that perfection. So these are perfect men and women, young men and women in this country, are rejecting perfection every day without them really knowing it, or without having any idea what's going on, and no one seems to know what's going on. And so that's the problem, and that's why, for the most part, why these young men and women wouldn't be enlightened, because they wouldn't recognize it. They can't see it. So in that case, the only thing an enlightened being can do is to say, okay, be on your way, because I'm not going to be subject to your habitual pattern, say, because if I did and I tried to please you, the only way I could please you is to have a huge game center where you could play your video games in my ashram, say, or a place where you could take selfies and be on Instagram and have all these wonderful things for you to make it so you could have more followers on Instagram. And in that way, whatever started out as perfect degenerates into something that isn't quite quickly. So a liberated being would only be like, hey, well, if you'd rather play video games, then don't be here. Don't play here. If you'd rather be on Instagram, then be on your way, because that's not what meditation is, for example. So hopefully that has made sense to everyone. Just keep that in mind as you're meditating, that you have that perfection in you. Everyone has it within themselves, but it's hard to access because of our other habits that we might have. So spend some time meditating, and you'll find the peace that you're looking for. So with that, I'll sign off. Thanks again for listening. This has been Josh Barzell for Modern World Zen.